Welcome back, everyone, to the Heal and Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse podcast. I'm your host, Effie, and thank you for coming back and being loyal listeners, and for everyone who just discovered this podcast. Welcome, and I hope that you can find something that could be of use for you. While I give examples from my own personal experience in recovering from a very toxic narcissistic relationship, abuser, and so today is particularly difficult because I'm going to start by admitting something to all of you. And from this, I hope that I can process this experience and you can learn from my own on what to avoid while you're going, treading the oftentimes tumultuous sea of recovery, where at any point in time you can be tempted to go back or contact your narcissistic ex. And I'm here today to give you an example of what just transpired in my life, so that you can rest assured that the best thing to do, regardless of what they, how they are with you, how they try to trigger you, how many times they try to trigger you and reach out to you. It is absolutely critical that you maintain no contact. So here I was, 4.5 months into my recovery. I felt quite strong and solid in my resolve to maintain no contact. Again, not to punish him, but to save myself and heal properly and move on with my life to better things, bringing new positive energy into my life, new people into my life, and hopefully one day to make that connection with a healthy individual. Unfortunately for me, my former abuser decided that he was gonna try to trigger me. So, if you can imagine, put yourself in my shoes. I'm walking to my mailbox one day, coming home from work. I open my mailbox, and there's a package, Priority Express mail envelope. And whose name do I see on it? His, the former abuser, narcissistic ex, however you want to coin him, label him. And there he is on the envelope, and it's addressed to me. And my heart started racing. I started having a very intense physical and emotional reaction as if I was experiencing a panic attack. Again, heart racing, palpitations, nervousness, loss of focus. I sat down with this package looking at it, and I'm like, what the heck? After 4.5 months, what could he be sending me? I automatically thought, because I know him so well. See, that's the thing. I had figured him out. He could no longer hide from me. I knew him as if I was inside of him, as sick as that sounds. And I thought, he's sending me back. The only thing I could think of was a book that I had given him to read early on in our relationship. This is a while back, okay? And as far as I knew, he hadn't gone past page 5 or 10. I remember asking him at some point during the course of our relationship, "Oh, whatever happened, that book? Remember I gave you that book? Did you ever read it?" "No, you know, I started it. I never finished." Okay, I never asked for the book back. It wasn't a first edition. It wasn't an autographed copy. It was not a prized possession. It wasn't something that I couldn't find again if I needed in a bookstore. I wasn't planning on rereading it. And up until that point that I got the package, I never thought of that book before. And there it was in my lap. I'm looking at this package and I'm preparing myself now. Now I said, if I open this, it could be one of two. It could be the book with a message, or it could be the book without a message. Knowing how sadistic and covert he is in his tactics, I had a strong sense that there would be just this book without any message whatsoever, just to mess with me. So I said, you know what, either way, this isn't good for me. I was feeling more grounded in my life. You did the package alone rattle me? The package alone rattled me, yes. I didn't want to open my mailbox and see his name. In fact, I don't want to hear his name. I don't want to see his name. I was at that point in my life. I'm like, you know, I was able to do it with the former narcissist and the more overt type of narcissist I was involved in a number of years back. I can do it again with him. I am going to stick to my plan. And I felt really strong. Did I get emotional? Yes. Did I want to stay strong? Yes. I even reached out to a therapist who specializes in this type of trauma and recovery. And I've been talking to her since this happened. And she confirmed that this was what they call, it wasn't a direct Hoover, it was an indirect Hoover. So in this type of lingo, they use this Hoover word to, which comes from the Hoover vacuum. So like a Hoover vacuum, they try to reel you back in, if not fully into the relationship and some kind of dynamic, to feed their ego. And of course, this happens when you go no contact and you enforce your boundaries. And they do warn, these therapists warn, be careful, because just as you're feeling better, just when you feel like, you know, you're in that nice place where you're not thinking about him 24/7, you're not, you know, as upset as you once were. A lot of those chemicals that were running through your body, the cortisol levels, the stress-related levels, the trauma bonding chemicals that were running through your body and your brain, those are now, they've dissipated, they're gone, and you're just continuing to work slowly, gradually through the cognitive dissonance. It's lessening. So that's exactly where I was. And I was again, you know, that's not to say I didn't have my days, or I didn't have days where I missed the good or the intimacy or the connection, but it was more about missing a relationship than missing the abuse that I sustained, or the abuser himself in all his glory once he showed his true colors. No, you know. And there this was. And she confirmed that this was an indirect Hoover. So, again, in other circumstances, it depends on the way the relationship ended. It depends on who the narcissist is, on his, where he's at in his life, how malignant he is, where he's at in the spectrum of narcissism. So every situation is different. In my situation, this is a highly disordered person, very covert in the way he does things. His ego matters more than anything else. Any slight, any sense that he's being ignored is a narcissistic injury. And I think, you know, when you can feel somebody's energy still, and I felt like he had it in for me and he was angry, A, because he knew I had seen through him in the relationship and that I wasn't happy and that I had pointed things out to him and he couldn't live with that, right? So that he had to discard me, claiming that I was the problem, that I was the one who brought drama, that I was the instigator of everything, right? So, ironically enough, meanwhile, he's the one now sending me a package and triggering me. Okay, so there was that. There was the fact that as he's discarding me, I said, enough. I'm not doing this anymore. I cannot just be friendly with you and civil with you and maintain contact. I'm going to have to unfollow you from social media. And please, please, don't look at it like I'm punishing you. I'm doing it for me. I don't want to see something that's going to upset me. It's going to hurt the hell out of me if I see you with somebody else. Like, I don't want to have to go through this. So as difficult as it is for me, and it was for me, I had to unfollow him for self-preservation. And then, of course, seeing his pictures, still there were photos of him on my Instagram, were upsetting to me every time I would go to my Instagram. So, and I was angry too. I was angry that I was the one and being tossed aside like yesterday's news. I was angry that I stayed that long to allow for him to do that to me, to pull the plug. When I offered to work on the for us to work on the relationship, he didn't. He devalued it, devalued me, and had no interest in working on anything except to call me the problem and devalue everything that remained that was still good. So I couldn't. I had to delete a lot of the photographs. But again, I wasn't doing it to punish him. I was doing it for my self-preservation. Could be that he might have seen, if he was looking very closely. Sometimes I post inspirational material, or, you know, I follow a lot of these narcissistic abuse pages on Instagram. So perhaps, you know, I know I've reposted a couple times a few of those, and in my need to lessen my own cognitive dissonance, in my need to say to the world and put it out there that I went through this terrible experience, but I'm surviving it, to reaffirm myself in some way. You know, my page is open, it's public, so perhaps he saw something. And you know, to me, sending me that package was clearly, it was not meant in any altruistic, it wasn't an altruistic gift, like, here, take back your book, I don't like throwing books away, although he could say that if confronted by someone. But I know better. I'm not stupid. I'm a smart woman. I'm an emotionally smart person. So much so that I can realize 2 + 2 = 4. It's very simple here. You don't send this 4.5 months later. You can throw it away. You can donate it. You can drop it off, give it to someone if you don't like throwing books away. You can always drop it off or leave it on the subway for somebody to pick up, you know? And my therapist agreed with this. She defined it as an indirect Hoover. I did open, and in the end, I was 100% correct. It was the book, and there was no message other than his business card, if you can believe, his business card that he had used as a marker, as a bookmark, to show that he hadn't gotten past the page, that he had never actually read the book. So the message that that's sending, it's a combination of things. One, I hate your guts. You are at fault for everything. Here is a reminder of me. You can't just delete me. I still exist and I'm going to trigger you. And there's nothing you can say to somebody else and they can say that it was done maliciously. I'm simply returning a book. So he can go on and act as if he, it was an altruistic move. I saw it 4 months later. It was sitting there. It's a book. I'm returning. Bull crap. Bull crap. Bull crap. Nobody does that. No healthy human being who knows their ex is probably suffering, probably was trying so hard to put the past behind and move on, and suddenly it's like a trick. It's like that nudge. It's like I'm here. And then she also believed that it was a provocation, is meant to trigger a reaction on my part. Perhaps had I sent something of his back that I was still holding on to, because he's still living with his family, his mother. So I would have sent that package over and looked like a crazy person to everyone. Of course, I doubt he would have told people that he had instigated this. He would have conveniently left that part out. So that's one possibility. Or he hoped that I would reach out to him. So I'm here to admit to you all that I did reach out. I did. You see, the strongest, you can have the strongest resolve. You can be so certain you can maintain no contact. And then something like this that the narcissist does months, maybe even years. I've heard of people being hoovered years later. And it's hard. It's hard because the dynamic is still there. You realize you haven't fully healed yet. And so they still have a pull in some way, and they want to know that they have the pull. This is all ego-based. This is not meant to be nicey nice in any way. No. The package itself triggered me. I cried. I felt horrific. I think I was might have been exhibiting physical signs as well. With the heart palpitations and the anxiety and crying every hour, I think that's all part of the complex traumatic, post-traumatic stress that many victims of narcissistic abuse experience over the course of during the relationship and after the relationship. From all of the traumatic experiences and the invalidation, this is what happens. And it all came back. It was terrible. I just wanted to just rip the band-aid again and open it and just be done with it, process it, whatever it might be. I didn't want it to sit there. I didn't want to have to wonder. I said, whatever it is, let me just deal with it now. But I was not strong. In the end, I caved in. And my thought process was, I just want peace. You see, it came from the goodness of my heart. Things didn't end well. We cut off suddenly. I was the one that enforced no contact and unfollowed him. Maybe, you see, I started doubting myself and I said, you know, well, I'm at a better place now. Maybe I can be the better person. Maybe, you know, if I haven't been released fully from this hell, maybe this will be it. Maybe by me extending an olive branch to him, showing my good nature, that we can at least make peace. And, you know, if he's did something wrong, which he did, if he's doing something wrong, if he's hurting other people, then let the universe keep track of this and you know, treat him accordingly. I cannot do that. I don't want that burden anymore. I was seeing that I still had a lot of anger and rage. I didn't want it anymore. So that was my thought process. I thought, let me email him and I'll just say, I opened this package. I didn't want to open it because of where I was at, but being in a better place, I decided to open it. Thank you for returning my book, even though deep down I know I don't have to let him know what I think of that, that I'm onto him, but thank you for returning my book. By the way, I have some things of your own that I still have or that are related to you. I can return them. Do you want me to send them to you? And then I concluded with, I have, you know, the way things ended were less than ideal. I had been hurting and angry for a while. It would be nice if we could finally make peace. Would you be open to that? And that's what I sent. I sent it and I didn't overthink it, and that's the problem. I should have just maybe written something out and then burnt it or thrown it in the trash. Instead, it's so easy to click that send button and I s sent it. And I did prepare myself though, and I said, regardless of what his response or non-response is, I don't want to regret this. I want to look at it like I am making this decision. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it so that I can feel I was the better person, that I, even though I was hurt, even though he hurt me, even though he abused me, even though, I will be the better person now and I will extend this olive branch. And maybe we can just be cordial if we ever see each other out in public. You know, maybe we can send once a year a happy birthday, maybe acknowledge each other here and there. That's all I wanted. And what do I get? 8 hours or so later, I get a response. Basically, I'm sending you a huge electronic, a big electronic hug, and let's just leave it at this. Each going our own paths. You can throw, I'll always wish you the best. You can go throw away all those things. That's it. That's all I got. So, why didn't he throw the book out? You would ask. Why not throw that out? Do you see the sickness and the irony in all of this? I knew then, in that moment, this person is incorrigible. And it gets even better because he probably knew. At some point, I was going to, because we all do this, I was going to go look at his Instagram page. And sure enough, the crazy person went and deleted every last photo, even the ones where there was just my shoe in the frame or a piece of cloth. A section of cloth from my dress, everything. The items that I referred to that I was still holding on, if there was a picture with any of those items, he deleted it. Anything that he ever posted, of me, us, or an insinuation of me, gone, deleted, same day, same night. What does that say? I'd be interested to hear from you on this. I would love to get your take on what you make of all this. Please feel free to email me and let me know. I would appreciate it. Even though I have a good sense of what this was all about, I would just love to hear it from you guys. So if you care to, please send out a message to me. My email address is PA, P as in Peter, A as in Apple, S as in Sam, A as in Apple, G as in George, I as in India, A as in Apple, E as in Edward, at gmail.com. So it's passageae at gmail.com. And also let me know if you want to share any of your own stories during the recovery process when you've gone no contact and you've been hoovered, whether directly or indirectly, like this, how you were able to maintain no contact still, or how you might have succumbed like I did. I would be interested to hear from you. How do I feel now? I am trying not to be harsh with myself. There's no point. I'm trying to be compassionate, because I'm the only one that can give that to myself. Thankfully, the few people I've spoken to about this are not judging me for it. They understand the motivation behind it. Of course, they would have tried to dissuade me from hitting send, but they understood my motivation for doing that, and they've validated me and have said, "It's clear that you are the kind person. It's clear that you're projecting your goodness onto him. You're projecting your deep desire to forego the ego and pride and to say, you know what? We're human regardless. Here's an olive branch." And yeah, you could say his response was gracious in that he's sending me an electronic hug. But we all know that's a load of crap, right? I mean, someone who means well doesn't treat you like that. We wouldn't have gotten to this place anyway. But someone who means well does not trigger somebody by sending them an express mail envelope with the tracking number so he would know when the package was delivered. You see, if he was different, if he was healthier, if he had gotten better, if he wasn't and his actions weren't ego driven, then he would have not communicated with me at all. That's why, in fact, you're better off without a Hoover. You're better off without an indirect, because that shows, you know, first of all, you don't have the temptation. You don't have to think of, it's good for you. It's like, leave me alone. I was doing okay. Leave me alone. I didn't need to be triggered. I didn't need. And yes, he got what he probably wanted in some respect. He got a reaction from me. Clearly, he saw that it had an effect on me because I reached out to him. And on some level, he rejected me in that he rejected the friendship. So it's like, screw you. It's on the one hand, with a smile and a handshake, he's saying, screw you. I offered a friendship when we broke up. You didn't want to. You unfollowed him. So it's like a tit for tat, you see. Tit for tat. This is a 41, almost 41-year-old man who's doing this. Why? For what? You know? If he truly wished me well, if he truly wanted me to move on, which I'm doing anyway, and I will continue doing, why send the package? don't, after four and a half months, you don't do that to somebody. You don't do that. No. No. And also, if I had any doubts that even that email was not what it appeared to be on the surface, an friend kind of civil email reply, even he would not have had the urge same day to go delete every last photo. I mean, no, I don't regret sending that email. I would advise you, though, if you're in a similar place, please don't. It's not worth it, really. You're never going to get a friendship from a narcissist. You're never going to get validated. You're never going to get an apology. You're never going to get any insight into, what it was for them and what it is for them. You're not going to get anything. You're going to get squat. You're going to get dumped on. You're going to get rejected. You're going to get hurt. Even if, because I've heard of the Hoovers that are more direct, where they want to reel you into another relationship with them only to go through the whole process again. In my case, it wasn't that, clearly. In my case, it wasn't because he wants a relationship with me. In my case, it was to hurt me. In my case, it was to reel me in, get a reaction, get his ego fed that I'm still thinking of him, that he ha still had an effect on me, and then to basically hurt me all over again, to say, or to render me insignificant. And to do it in such a nice way, or in such a covert, I should say, insidious way, that if I had shown our mutual friends or anybody who knew him or knew us, they would say, "Oh, he's just returning a book, your book. I mean, you don't throw books away." Or, "He's being nice. He's right. You guys need to move on with your lives, and that's that." And he's basically being nice about it. He's not telling you to F yourself. Yeah. Except when you know a lot about narcissism, especially covert, when you know the underhandedness, the passive aggressive behavior that you had to deal with, and we know as victims, we know what it's about. You see, I read him. I even knew what was going to be in the package, and I knew how he was going to do it because we know. We figured these people out. And yet, as empaths, even in our weakest moments, even after being abused, even after we are still projecting our goodness onto these people, and we had hope that we could find a morsel of truth, a morsel of kindness, of true kindness, a morsel of humanity. And now. Please, for your own sake, learn from my experience, please. Take it from me. Do not, however triggered you get by anything they do when you're in the recovery phase, do not respond. Do not react and make it known to them. It's not worth it. It really isn't. And if you do it like I did, which I hope you won't, but if you do, try, please try not to be harsh with yourself. Try not to fall back to questioning yourself on everything and feeling like the bad person because he or she rejected you all over again and invalidated you. Please. Whatever these people do, it is not a reflection of you, who you are. No, it is a direct reflection of the poison within themselves, that they have to go through these, they have to go to these lengths, really, to affect someone negatively so that they could feel better. And it's not about love, you see. It's not about altruism. It's not about any of that. It has nothing to do with that. No. No. No, the only thing it has to do with is themselves, their egos. That's the only thing that sustains them. And you know what I said, the way I'm making peace with myself, forget making peace with him, okay? Forget it. Because I was hoping, I was looking to him to help release the hatred or the resentment, not hatred, because that's a strong word, but the resentment or the rage that I was still holding on to. And I was like, I just hope, you know, we'll make some peace, you know, and maybe be on friendly terms and everything will be okay. No, nothing is okay with these people. The one I need to make peace with is myself. I need to make peace with myself for staying in the relationship with him, for not being able to be the one to leave first. I need to also now make peace with the fact that I reached out after he triggered me. Yeah, we need to make peace with ourselves. There is absolutely nothing good, positive, life-affirming, sustaining, soul-enriching that you can obtain from this type of individual. So there it is. I hope that you can look at this, take it in, and know that you are doing the right thing by staying away, as far away, and from this kind of disordered person, that you are taking care of yourself by enforcing your boundaries. Please, just take care of yourselves. And if you are tempted to reach out to the narcissistic ex, contact a friend instead, a good friend who understands. Talk to them. Don't hit that send button until you speak to somebody and you sit on it for a while. And go back to that list that I've mentioned in the past. That's a good idea to create that list, jotting down all of the abuse that you sustained, all of the mixed messages, all of the reasons why you shouldn't be in contact with someone like this, and take out that list and read it and let it simmer. Don't communicate with them. Don't. That's all I have for today. I wish I had better news, but in a sense, this is good. This is good because it shows why, it just reinforces why no contact is so important. Again, not to use it as a weapon the way the narcissist does with their silent treatments and their rejections and their deleting of your photos as revenge. No, no, no. You're doing it for you. You're doing it purely for you so that you can continue healing and you can get to a point where this is all irrelevant. It is a bad nightmare that you woke up from, and you're in a better place. And in order to get to that better place, that place of utter clarity, that place of where you wake up and you don't even think about this anymore, where you know your life is just, it feels carefree again, it feels lighter. You don't need validation. You have it within you. You give it to yourself. You don't need any of that. You've processed all those bad messages that the narcissist voice in your head, and you've discarded all of that, and that you will never ever again be susceptible to hoovering, whether it be direct or indirect as it were in my case. Okay? Thank you all. I wish you well, and I'll be back at some point with more. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.